Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 12th. I'm John Weigel here with Rob Litterst, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. The Saudi Arabian desert is slated to be the new home for a $1 trillion, 10,200 square mile luxury utopia called NEOM. That much has already been in the news for a bit, but new information here is that they're also developing a golf community in this area called Gidori. I know, shocking. This all looks straight out of a billionaire fever dream, but what are the environmental repercussions and what is the Saudi government's role here? We'll talk about that in a minute, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today across business and tech. To start us off here, Uber just launched an emissions-saving tool in over 15 cities in the United States and Canada that lets riders track the carbon emissions saved by booking Uber Green and Uber Comfort electric trips. It's part of the company's goal to be a zero-emissions platform in the U.S., Canada, and European cities by 2030. Next, in a world we all know and love, WWE is featuring a brand logo on its wrestling mat for the first time, and it's an image of Logan Paul's Prime Hydration sports drink. It'll be front and center during events as part of its largest ever two-year sponsorship deal with Logan Paul. Rob, what do you make of this big-time sponsorship for Logan Paul and the WWE?
This is huge. People have their opinions and takes on the Paul brothers. They don't exactly duck cameras, so like I don't blame people for having hot takes on either side of the aisle about Logan or Jake Paul, but this is just genius marketing. I mean, I think Prime lines up perfectly with WWE. I think the audience probably has a ton of crossover with the young generation that's drinking Prime primarily. Logan obviously has been involved in the WWE. Mm-hmm. From the videos I've seen, Logan Paul looks pretty legit, honestly, as a wrestler. So like, yeah. I honestly think that like this is just perfect brand alignment for him. And he remains pretty much undefeated with Prime right now. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, it's great brand alignment. Like you said, Logan Paul, I think he's only had 11 matches up till now, and he's quite a natural in the ring, honestly, compared to guys that have been doing it for like 15, 20 years. He's kind of right up there with them right now, which is pretty insane, the athleticism alone. But this Prime sponsorship is actually extra crazy and extra important because it's actually the first time that the WWE has ever put a sponsorship in the middle of their ring. You know, companies like UFC do that all the time. Boxing, you know, does that all the time where they have sponsorships on maybe the turnbuckles or inside the ring. But the WWE has never done that before now. This is kind of a brand new business venture for them. And Logan Paul being so involved with the product kind of makes sense that they're having it that way.
A huge untapped monetization opportunity for those guys. I mean, they get a ton of very consistent viewership. I imagine if they opened up more sponsorship opportunities around the ring, it would just sell out every time very easily.
For sure. Before this merger with UFC, they always wanted to keep the ring, quote, clean and never wanted to make a deal like that. But since they started working with UFC and they're both working together as TKO, I think the influence started to bleed in a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, next up, streaming may dominate the entertainment world currently, but it didn't play out that way at the Oscars on Sunday. Streamers' nominations yielded very little wins. Netflix's was 1-for-19, and Apple went for a 0-for-13. Pretty bad numbers on the streaming side, considering that they're dominating everything right now, Rob.
I mean, I think to a certain degree, that's by design. I think the streamers in general are starting to get out of movies. They're realizing that TV is the better place to be. Series are more bingeable. People are gravitating towards shorter form content on TVs. Mm-hmm. I think in general, if you look at engagement and viewership, less people are watching movies now, more people are watching TV shows. I just read this article in Puck. If you're not reading Puck, it's a great place to read up on entertainment. And they were talking about how Netflix is shifting its strategy. I believe last year they put out 80 movies. They just hired a new chief of their film division who's planning on putting out, I think, closer to 30 this year. Mm-hmm. So they're really rolling it back. They're trying to go quality over quantity, which I think is smart. That being said, 1-for-19 and 0-for-13 is not great. I think part of that is just, it was a pretty dominant Oscars for a couple of films.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Next up, Reddit plans to raise its valuation up to around $748 million through its forthcoming IPO, with around 22 million shares priced between $31 and $34 each. That's going to be crazy when that goes off. And finally, Airbnb is banning indoor surveillance cameras to protect the privacy of guests starting April 30th. Outdoor cameras must be disclosed and cannot point at amenities such as saunas. What do you think about this, Rob?
Yeah, I support this ban. Honestly, it just feels weird that people could be watching you basically at any time. I mean, even if you are staying in their house, like, I get it. I get why somebody who's letting you stay in their house would want to watch you. But like, as an American, I guess, because there are countries where surveillance is a lot more normalized. But as a living, breathing American, I do not expect to be watched in my normal day to day.
Yeah,
I totally support this. I think it's the right move for Airbnb.
I agree. I think there's a level of necessary privacy. And seeing this as a headline of ours today makes me realize that every Airbnb I was in beforehand may have had some indoor surveillance, which I'm just flashing back right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now on to the main story. In this edition of Billionaires Doing Billionaire Things, we're talking about this relatively new $1 trillion development in the Saudi Arabian desert and its golf community that looks quite Westworldian. Rob, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, so this place looks absolutely insane. So I'm sure you remember Neom, the $1 trillion utopia that's being built on about 10,000 square miles of Saudi Arabian desert. If you don't remember that, here's a refresher. It's basically a special zone that will operate independently of Saudi Arabia's government. Mm-hmm. It's going to have its own judicial system, its own taxes, and it's owned by the country's public investment fund, which you might be aware of because they also are the backers behind LIV, the golf tour that's challenging the PGA and has been chock full of controversy ever since it launched. And speaking of golf, that's kind of the new headline here today. So there are all these projects that are going on in Neom. And the most recent announcement is a video that's promoting Gidori, which is the project's flagship golf community. And I'm going to tell you what, John, I watched this video earlier. I think you did too.
Yeah.
It is pretty much exactly what you would expect to see from a $1 trillion utopia. This place looks nuts.
Dude, it's crazy. Like made of glass, looks like the side of a spaceship armada. It's crazy looking.
Truly.
It is absolutely wild.
It looks like it's straight out of the future. Like it is truly like the closest to science fiction I feel like I've seen in the modern world. So I was telling you before, my dad likes to golf. We decided to give him a present for his birthday, a golf trip last year. And we went to this golf course in Florida called Stream Song. It's about an hour outside Tampa. And it's this awesome golf course. It like typically gets ranked top 10 in America for public courses that you can visit and go play.
Cool.
And it's a super, super cool space. It was built into an old phosphate mine in the middle of Florida. And this course is crazy. Honestly, like looking at Gidori, it's a way more futuristic level and the buildings and everything are working and operating at a completely different budget than Stream Song. But nonetheless, it gave me the same vibe. And I think it'll be a great course to play. I think people are going to flock there. It's definitely going to be a destination.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a destination, especially for the uber wealthy, because this place is looking crazy. And of course, it's a golf community, I guess, quotation. So do you know what else is there besides, I'm guessing, a massive golf course?
So this is going to be a beachfront community. It'll hold a hotel, apartments and homes, an 18-hole golf course, and entertainment options like restaurants, spas, hiking trails. It's going to be part of the Gulf of Aqaba region, which holds 10 other development projects and joins Neom's four yet to be realized regions, which are here. Let me just read these out for
you. More?
There's more. There's a lot more, John. Trojena, which is a $500 billion ski resort set to host the 2029 Asian Winter Games. So we'll all get a sneak peek of what that looks like in about 5 years. Oxagon, the floating structure that will be the Center for Advanced and Clean Industries. And Sindala, which is an island in the Red Sea that will hold hotels and yacht marinas. It'll be the first Neom project to open supposedly this year.
Okay. The craziest title I've ever heard is Oxagon. That sounds like such an evil lair.
Yeah.
But really cool. And of course, there's also The Line, which could you talk a bit about what The Line is too?
Yeah. So The Line is the buzziest region out of all of the Neom regions. It's a 130-mile long smart city that will one day house 9 million people and be car free. But there's a ton of drama behind it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, as will happen when you launch a $1 trillion smart city in the desert. A progress video came out for The Line that said that millions of cubic meters of earth and water are being moved per week. If you read between the lines there, it's pretty clear that it's probably not exactly the best thing for the environment to be moving that much earth.
Right.
And experts seem to agree. Experts are saying that it could pose a risk to migratory bird species. So Not really sure if all of this building is actually going to foster the best kind of natural wildlife at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there are so many projects going on that you just listed. All of these huge investments by the Saudi Arabian government, which of course is very wealthy, is very rich, as we've seen over the years. But is this having any kind of adverse effects on their economy at all?
So it's kind of crazy. Saudi Arabia's cash levels have fallen by about three quarters to $15 billion, which is the lowest level they've been at since 2020, as the spending on all of these big projects has continued to escalate. So it does seem like they're kind of getting to a point where the coffers are starting to run at least somewhat dry compared to where they usually are. Experts believe the government might need to pour an additional $270 billion into the country's wealth fund by 2030, which is just crazy. I mean, the scale and scope of these investments is just nuts. But the one thing that I thought looking at this, John, all of this stuff looks crazy on Earth, right? Like, it really looks insane compared to kind of where we all live and how we live in the world today.
Right.
But if we're actually going to be colonizing new planets, then I think a lot of the stuff that these developers are doing is probably going to be relevant. Like, if Elon Musk's dream comes true and we do colonize Mars, we're going to need these kinds of developers in these sorts of places up on these new planets that we're ultimately colonizing. And so I think the visual identity that I got from Neom looking at those pictures is it looks like a new planet.
Yeah.
And I honestly think it could potentially be kind of like the model for what new planets look like, assuming it does kind of run without cars. And I don't know if they can make it kind of a sustainable environment. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, that's quite a good point, actually, because, you know, they are building this in the middle of a desert that was previously uninhabited, right?
Right.
And when you think about building something on another planet, you're kind of going into it with a similar situation, although, you know, they probably need something for the whole oxygen thing up there. But
exactly.
Other than that, it seems like everything has kind of been thought out. I'm sure it won't be as luxurious as this would be, because this seems just like a vacation spot for the elite, like a catch-all vacation spot.
Right.
But that makes a lot of sense. If you are taking the time and investing the money to building something like this, what's to say you can't duplicate something similar on a different planet, minus all the transportation costs, of course.
Exactly, dude. Just
fascinating.
Take the blueprint and run it back.
Wow. We were talking before the show only about sci-fi novels, so I feel like we're going to make our own today.
I think we incepted ourselves, John.
Yeah, I think we did. All right, and that'll do it for us today. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email. And we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.